bond servant. We're not going to read the rest of the chapter. We'll look at a few verses. But we're going to focus primarily out of verses 19 through 30, where really it's kind of a strange passage if you think about it. Paul is telling us about the travel of two men that have been helping him in his missionary work, Timothy and Epaphroditus. And so it's one of those sections of Scripture at first glance we might just kind of go over, but I really think this morning there are some lessons that we can take away from these verses of what Paul is telling us. And the very first thing, we're going to be talking about developing a servant's heart. Amen? A servant's heart. You know, there's nothing greater in the body of Christ that we understand what it means to serve. That we understand the calling that's on each of us to serve. It's you know, on a basketball team or a football team, you have your starters and you have your bench warmers. But in the body of Christ, we're all on the starting team. You're all in the starting lineup. There are no bench warmers. And so we're all called to serve. We're all called to be involved. We're all called to the ministry of serving one another. And so if we're going to be servants, then number one, we have to cultivate a servant's heart. Amen? In fact, we see Jesus as our example. Mark 10:45, Jesus said, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many." Amen? But you know, we're all selfish by nature. Come on. So we've got to cultivate the heart of a servant. Paul had to do that. Timothy and Epaphroditus, in this letter, Paul is illustrating how they had servants' hearts. We see it in two ways. The first thing is that a servant's heart is centered on the things of Jesus. Amen? A servant's heart, our hearts must be centered on the things of Jesus. Timothy's focus was on the Lord. So much so that Paul says that Timothy was like none of the other men around. He wasn't looking to do things out of his own interest, but he was doing it for the service of God and to help Paul. And in verse 21, Paul said, "For all the others seek their own, not the things which are of Christ." If we're going to be a servant, we've got to have our hearts focused on the Lord. And then Paul says that Timothy served him in furthering the gospel. Verse 22 of this chapter, he says, "But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served me in the gospel." And so Timothy had a heart that was centered on the things of God. Like him, Epaphroditus was a servant who focused on the things of Christ. One of the interesting things in this chapter we find out about Epaphroditus is that while serving God, going from Rome to Philippi and from Philippi back to Rome, doing the work for Paul while he's in prison in Rome, Epaphroditus nearly died of a major illness. We don't know what it was. Many scholars believe that on the six-week journey that it would take to go between the two towns, that he developed this illness that nearly took his life. And Paul says in verse 25 of chapter 2, "I considered it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my need." And then verse 30, "Because for the work of Christ he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service towards me." In those two verses, Paul says he was both a minister, Epaphroditus, and that he had service towards Paul. The Greek word there is actually the word that we get the word liturgy from, a liturgical service, the order of the service. In the Greek world, that word was used of a man or a person out of love and devotion to God, would finance a great drama, or they would pay to outfit a battleship. They, in other words, they were willing to give of their money and their time to make sure that their culture and their country and things moved forward. It's a picture of their act of service as a form of worship. That's what the word means. And listen to me, every servant of Jesus Christ does what he does. Everything you do what you do, whether giving or helping or speaking, as an offering to God. Amen? You do it as an offering unto the Lord. Now, I know that's your heart. That's got to be our hearts, that everything we're doing out of an act of service, out of act of love towards God. A servant's heart is centered on Jesus and his work. There's three attitudes that a servant has. The first one is they're willing to be sent anywhere. You're willing to go anywhere. You know, it would have been easier for Timothy for Paul to say, Timothy, I want you to stay right here with me. I'm here in prison. I'm at a low point. I want you here with me. But Paul doesn't do that. He sends Timothy. And I'm sure that because Paul was like a father to Timothy, Timothy would have wanted to stay with Paul. But he says, I'll go wherever you need me to go, I will go for the gospel. I can remember as a young boy feeling the call of God to do something in life and being somewhat afraid to answer that question, will you go anywhere for me, with a yes, only because I was afraid God would send me overseas somewhere in a jungle and didn't know where I would be or what I would be doing, or off in a desert somewhere, or who knows. It's scary to think of going to a place that you know nothing about. But I finally surrendered that and I said, God, I'll go wherever you want me to go. And now I love going to jungles and deserts and wherever else. Go. An attitude of a servant is they're willing to be sent anywhere. Number two, they're willing to serve anyone. Amen. We've got to have an attitude that's willing to serve anyone. We can't be about just making a name for ourselves. Not just speaking to large crowds, or we've got to be willing to go wherever and to serve whoever. That means the nursery and the preschool, the toddlers on Sunday. Well, I don't want to work in there. I've done my duty in there. Well, a servant's attitude says, I'm willing to serve anyone. Getting awful quiet in this Lutheran church. Got to be willing to serve anybody. We got to be willing to fill in wherever the need is. Got to be willing to serve wherever there's a need. Amen? Whatever it is. I remember when Renee told me the story of she went to Christ for the Nations in Dallas, and she signed up to be a part of Living Praise, which was their traveling praise and worship choir. And they it was a lot of work. They traveled all over Europe one summer, and the next summer they traveled all over the United States, tour bus, carrying equipment, setting up sometimes twice a day. A lot of work. And the first day they walked in, the choir director meets them, and they're all sitting there, kids from all over, you know, the country coming to this college. And he said, are y'all ready to, everybody ready to sing? Everybody ready to worship? Oh, yeah. All right, here you go. Handed each one of them a toilet brush and said, go clean the bathrooms in this building. Because it's not about me standing up here on a platform and singing, or, come on, it's about serving. And if we don't do it for the right reasons, then it's all, it's like a clinging brass or a tinkling cymbal, Paul says. So we've got to be willing to be sent anywhere. We've got to be willing to serve anyone. Number three, got to be willing to sacrifice anything. Our realtor this week was telling us he's a part of a church plant as well. And they've been meeting in a school for 7 years. Now they've been doing set up and tear down for 7 years. And they just now are going to use the building of another church. And so they're not going to have to do the set up and tear down anymore. They've got access to this building on Sunday mornings. But to do it, they have to have their service at 8 a.m. And so they'll be there from 8 till 9:30 or 8 to 10, and then they're out of there. And he has a 2-year-old. and his wife is pregnant, and they run a farm and do all these other things. And he said, we were kind of put out when we first heard that church was going to be at 8 a.m. because, you know, you got a 2-year-old, they can be cranky at 8 a.m. And he said, after he stepped away and he thought about it, he said, you know what, our little boy can be a booty at 10:30. So, you know, it doesn't really matter whether it's 8 or 10:30, so they'll adjust to whatever the schedule is. But he said something, we were standing there, he said, so we're only going to take up our cross as long as it fits our schedule and our routine. I said, wow. I said, yeah, that's a great way to look at it. Come on, we've got to be willing to sacrifice even sleep if we're going to serve God. Timothy had given up his own interests. Epaphroditus almost lost his life. In fact, in the Greek, it says the word used of Epaphroditus, it says that it's the word, it's a gambling term. It literally meant to throw the dice. He was literally rolling the dice and saying, wherever you want to take me, God, whatever the outcome. It's basically what we sang this morning. It is well with my soul. Let me ask you a question. Have you told the Lord that you'll give up everything, your desires, your ambitions, your time, your money, in order to serve Him? Number one, we said that we have to cultivate a servant's heart. Number two, we have to endure servants' hardships. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. We've talked about trials and testing a couple of weeks ago in James. But anyone that has spent any time in the kingdom of God knows that we are often tested. Amen. Paul mentions Timothy's proven worth in verse 22. And the word literally means approved by testing. It's the Greek word dokimos. When they would take a piece of pottery after they had formed it and shaped it and let it dry out, then they would put it in the oven to bake. And if it was proved worthy, then it would come out with no cracks, it would come out with no flaws, and they would stamp the Greek word dokimos on it, which means approved by testing. And come on, how many of you know God is looking to be able to put the stamp dokimos on us to say that we have been approved by testing? Amen. That the hardships and the things that we go through, it's the same word that James used when he said that the tribulations produce perseverance and perseverance produce character. So we go through hardships because we come out on the other side better for it. And last, I said I wasn't going to preach long. We've got to cultivate a servant's heart. We've got to endure a servant's hardship. But number three, when we do that, we receive a servant's honor. Amen. In fact, in 1 Samuel 2 and verse 30, the Bible says, the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor. See, if you honor God, then He promises to honor you. We read it in that passage because Jesus was willing to humble Himself and become like a servant, become a man. God highly exalted Him. And His name is exalted above all others. Paul says in 2 Timothy 4:8 that there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord will give to me, but to all those who have loved His appearing. So the reward for faithfulness is a crown of righteousness. I'm looking forward to that day when we'll hear the Matthew 25:21, and Jesus will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in little, and now I'm going to make you a ruler over much. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And Paul honors Timothy. He honors Epaphroditus. And in verse 29, he says, hold such men and women, but in this case, these men, hold such men in high regard. In other words, when you find someone who is worthy of honor, hold them in high regard. Honor them. Show them that you think they're worth it. Could somebody go next door and get the kids and Beth and all, you want, Pam's going to go get them in here. Just tell them, come on in, pile in. Got plenty of room. You know, I can honestly remember probably a half a dozen sermons that were immediately life-changing. Probably half a dozen sermons that I can remember that were immediately life-changing. I can remember way more times that somebody ministered to me hands-on during a crisis. It sermons and preaching, it takes the ministry of the word and the ministry of service in the church. I mean, it takes the ministry of the word, but it also takes, can you go rush them along, please? Whatever they're doing, drop it and come on. We need to strive to become imitators of Christ. Amen. Imitators of men and women like Timothy and Epaphroditus, Paul, and of course of the Lord Jesus. Come on in, guys. Just have a seat. Doesn't matter where you are. You can go sit as a group. I don't care. Just come on in. Trying to move this along as quickly as we can. Amen. And like I opened the service with, we should only be one entrance to the church. Amen. The servant's entrance, that we all come to serve. And this morning we have a servant in our midst that we want to honor. Amen. Before she moves away to Alabama. Like I said a moment ago, I can remember perhaps a half a dozen sermons that were immediately life-changing, but I would dare say that Ann standing at that door giving out hugs Sunday after Sunday after Sunday has made a bigger impact on people than any sermon that I've ever preached. It's been 13 years now that we've known Ann. And as long as I've known Ann, I have been amazed at her tenacity and the fight and the willingness to serve through adversity. Ann would stand at the cutting board and cut cards and cut paper meticulously and with her hands. Somewhat crippled from the arthritis, and I know her feet and ankles hurting, but she continued to work. We all continued to serve. And we love Anne. Amen. And the Bible says to hold such a person in high regard, and we do hold Anne in the highest regard. Before we hold on, I'll give you, you'll get your opportunity, just hang on. Before we do anything else, I want to show a video that we put together. So let's show this video, and then I'll let Renee say what she wants to say. Get that light. That light closest to the door. Amen. Come on. Ann, come up here. If you can.
Cried for weeks every time I think about it, because you know in ministry it's so rare to have somebody you can trust. I mean, I trust everybody in this room, but it's just something about when you're the pastor's wife to have somebody that doesn't judge you, because I'm not perfect. She's mediated things that's going on between me and Pastor Jimmy, because we're real, you know, we're not perfect. She's never taken sides, even though I've wanted her to. I've wanted to win. She always has such amazing wisdom, and she's just loved, loved, loved. When I've worn her out with my conversations and counseling sessions over the last 13 years, she's just been such a joy. She makes me laugh. She's so much fun. And I asked God, I was like, why? I hate goodbyes. I hate them. God has a purpose, and he has a reason. I hate to see Heidi go. I cried for Heidi, too. They're your family. I'm just so thankful for this season, the time that I had. And I pray you all have somebody like Ann that won't let go, that won't give up on you, that'll pray for you when you can't pray for yourself. True servant. I mean, she hardly can even move her hands, and she types on the computer. And she just, whenever I don't feel like getting out of bed, I just think about Ann. She can hardly walk some days, and she shows up here. I'm like, what are you doing here? And here she comes. I love you.
We got a couple of gifts for Ann. This first one says, in honor of our dear friend Ann Kidder, whose service and dedication to Destiny Church is unsurpassed, the impact you made here will be felt for many generations. May 19th, 2019. And then one more. You can go ahead and clap, that's fine. Talking about holding servants and servants in high regard. And the Lord gave me this idea a few weeks ago. I hadn't even thought about it. I was going to preach on this. But today we are beginning a yearly award here at Destiny Church. And it is the Ann Kidder Servanthood Award. Given annually in honor of Ann Kidder, whose service and dedication to Destiny Church was unsurpassed. And so this will be up in our new building. And they forgot to put Ann's name on the first one, but that will be added here on Monday. And then next year we will name a somebody. So you got some big shoes to fill. Amen. So let Ann see that. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Biblically speaking, she's our Phoebe. She's our Phoebe. And I'm going to read the scripture. It's in Romans 16, 1 and 2. I commend to you our sister, Ann, who is a servant of the church, which is right now at Bowling Green, that you receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and that you help her in whatever matter she may have need of you, for she herself has also been a helper of many, and myself as well. And that just that's our Ann. Yes. It's in the Bible, it's Phoebe. We're talking about Phoebe, but that's our Ann.
Yes.
And I remember the very first day I walked into Destiny at Natcher School, and she was welcoming. You all don't know how much she reminds me of my mother and her beautiful, beautiful hands of love and service.
Amen. Amen. I guess it's something about Ann, because she reminds me of my mother, too. We had my mother living with us for a while, and it was hard to see my mom move, but Ann in so many ways reminded me in the same nurturing and same love of a mother. And we just love Ann so much. And so let's, if you want to do this, if you want to come up as close as you can, we're just going to pray for and Heidi, won't you come in here, and we'll pray for you too as y'all move to this new. Stand here in the middle, Ann. Yeah, come right here. Y'all stand next to each other. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you, Lord, so much for, Lord, these two ladies, and Lord, how they've served our body. Lord, we pray, Lord, for Heidi right now, Lord, as they move into a new stage of life. And God, I just pray that you would bless her, bless the boys, Lord, help them as they settle into their new home. Lord, a new marriage, Lord, all the things that they will encounter. God, we just pray that you'll help them and give them your favor, Lord. Let your blessing rest upon them. God, we want your best, Lord, for her and for these, for her sweet boys. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for leading and guiding them. Lord, we pray for Ann. Lord, she is a servant. And Lord, she doesn't do it for honor or accolades, Lord. She does it because she loves you. And God, I thank you that, Lord, you've allowed her to be in our life, Lord, for this period of time. And Lord, we release her to you, Lord, to her new home. Lord, be with her family. Lord, keep them safe. On their Lord, as her son-in-law starts a new job, God, just give them your blessing. Lord, we will miss her, but Lord, we thank you for the memories. And Lord, even as Sherry said, Lord, she is a Phoebe to us, God, a Phoebe to the body of Christ. Lord, I know she will be loved and, Lord, cared for wherever she is. And God, we just thank you. We ask you to bless her today. Lord, let her feel your love and your peace. Lord, we pray it all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Y'all be sure and give out hugs. God bless you as we dismiss this morning. Hug Ann and Heidi, hug three or four people, and you can head to the reception.